Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Coca-Cola FEMSA's second quarter 2014 conference call. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded, and all participants are in listen-only mode. At the request of the company, we will open up the conference for question and answers after the presentation. During this conference call, management may discuss certain forward-looking statements concerning Coca-Cola FEMSA's future performance and should be considered as good faith estimates made by the company. These forward-looking statements reflect management's expectations and are based upon currently available data. Actual results are subject to future events and uncertainties, which can materially impact the company's actual performance. At this time, I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Hector Treviño, Coca-Cola FEMSA's Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead, Mr. Treviño.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. In the second quarter, our company delivered 14% revenue growth based on our operators' ability to navigate through consumer environments through a balanced combination of volume and price growth, depending on the conditions of each of our markets. Excluding the recently integrated territories, revenues grew 3%. The strength of our returnable packaging portfolio enabled us to continue connecting with cost-conscious consumers across our franchise territories. This is especially true in Mexico, where consumption remains affected by the new tax environment, as well as bad weather conditions. As in the first quarter, lower PET and sweetener prices in most of our territories were partially offset by the average depreciation of the currencies in our South America division and Mexico. Consequently, our organic gross margin expanded 80 basis points. Operating expenses in most of our territories decreased as a percentage of revenues, despite market pressures such as higher labor and freight costs, especially across our South America division. In addition to our marketplace investment, our systems sponsorship of the 2014 FIFA World Cup enabled us to strengthen the brand equity of Coca-Cola while continuing to increase our connection with consumers, which will yield positive results in the future. For the quarter, our organic EBITDA margin expanded 250 basis points, highlighting our operators' ability to deliver increased profitability in challenging conditions. As a reminder, as of the first quarter of 2014, we decided to use the SICAD exchange rate in Venezuela to convert these operation results into Mexican pesos. This exchange rate was 10.60 bolivars per US dollar as of the end of June. Now, let's discuss each of our operations. In Mexico, we continue to face cost-conscious consumers with lower disposable incomes, affected by the new tax environment and price increases across many categories. In addition to the effect of price increases implemented to pass along the excise tax at the beginning of the year, our territories face much lower temperatures and very rainy weather conditions, which affected our organic volume performance. Hence, our Mexico operations organic volume contracted 7.7% for the quarter. As previously noted, at the end of the first quarter, we implemented an additional price increase that allowed our average price per unit case, which is presented net of taxes, to grow ahead of inflation. During the quarter, our returnable portfolio continued to prove resilient. Its volumes remain almost flat as compared with last year, while gaining 250 basis points to reach 38% of our sparkling beverage mix. Notably, within our returnable base, our 500 milliliter returnable glass presentation grew 25%. Our 1.25 liter returnable glass presentation grew 18%, and our recently introduced 3 liter returnable PET presentation grew significantly, playing an important role by serving consumers with lower disposable income in a segmented way. The strong performance of our returnable packaging base continues to underscore the current reality of cost-conscious consumers looking for increased value in every transaction. Organically, while regular sparkling beverage declined 7%, our low-caloric sparkling beverage declined nearly 1%. This modest decline was driven mainly by Sprite Zero and Citral Mundet Light, along with Coca-Cola Zero, which grew 2%, reaffirming its position as an affordable low-calorie value proposition for the consumer. Organically, our non-carbonated beverage category contracted 13%, while our water category declined more than 8%, including jug water, which is highly sensitive to bad weather conditions. To ensure our success, our operators continue to work diligently to enhance our marketplace execution and ensure the coverage and availability of our returnable and low-calorie presentations that enable us to intensify our connection with consumers. Sequentially, our market share indicators continue to improve month after month, confirming that our company is on the right path to strengthen our leadership in the Mexican market. On the operation side, during the quarter, we continue to downsize our headcount in Mexico as part of the adjustments necessary to compensate for the negative impact of the excise tax. We remain committed to successfully protecting the profitability and cash flow generations of our Mexican business. Organically, operating expenses in absolute terms were down almost 2% in the quarter. We will continue to focus on controlling expenses and making selective investments. In our Central American operation, we have implemented an acceleration plan with considerable immediate results. Consistent with this plan, we have introduced our magic price point strategy in each country, increased cooler coverage significantly, and raised execution standards. During the second quarter, our volume grew more than 7% in the region. Growth in this region was mainly driven by brand Coca-Cola, which grew 8% during the quarter, along with 8% growth in flavored sparkling beverages and 14% growth in bottled water. Our non-carbonated beverage portfolio growth resulted mainly from the continued strong performance of Powerade, which grew 15%. For the quarter, reported revenues in Mexico and Central America division grew 2%, supported by the integration of Grupo Jolly in Mexico. Organically, the division's revenue declined 2%, reflecting the volume contraction resulting from the price increases implemented to pass along the excise tax in Mexico, as well as bad weather conditions in May and June. Organically, our division's gross margin expanded 220 basis points on the back of lower sweetener and PET prices, which were partially offset by the depreciation of the Mexican peso as applied to our US dollar denominated raw material costs. Notably, our division's organic operative cash flow margin expanded 270 basis points for the quarter, resulting from lower raw material prices and our tight control on operating expenses, which declined 2% on an organic basis. Looking to the second half of the year, our operators will continue to focus on enhancing our marketplace execution, reinforcing our returnable presentation base, and presenting our consumers with the right packaging alternatives to increase transactions and accelerate volume growth in order to build on the positive market market share trends that we have seen so far this year. In our South America division, organic volumes increased 4% in the quarter, supported by the very positive performance of our Colombian operations and continued growth in Venezuela and Brazil. Including the Spica and Fluminense franchises in Brazil, the division volumes grew 24%. In Colombia, after 3 years of having implemented our strategy to detonate per capita consumption, reconfiguring our portfolio and pricing architecture, we continue posting strong volume growth. In the quarter, our volumes grew 12%, successfully building on 9% growth in the second quarter of last year and extending this operation positive performance to 7 consecutive quarters of growth above mid-single digits. Brand Coca-Cola grew 13%, supported by the performance of our 1.4-liter one-way PET presentation and our 6.5-ounce returnable glass bottle, which at the magic price points of 2,500 Colombian pesos respectively have been very well received by the country's consumers. Our flavor sparkling beverages, which had been struggling in the past year due to intense competition, increased more than 8% in the quarter, supported by Cuatro, Sprite, and Cola Romana. Our non-carbonated beverage grew 43%, mainly driven by growth of Del Valle, Fuse Tea, and Power. We remain on the right track to grow the per capita consumption of our beverages in Colombia, improving our marketplace execution, expanding our cooler coverage, and maximizing our opportunities to connect with our consumers. Moving on to Venezuela, our operations volume was up 7%, successfully building on a 9% growth in the second quarter of 2013. Brand Coca-Cola grew 8%, while our flavored sparkling beverages grew 4%, driven by heat. Our non-carbonated beverage category grew 34%, mainly driven by the Del Valle Fresh, Orange, which grew 36% in the quarter. Additionally, our recent launch of Burn is enabling us to rapidly gain market leadership in the country's energy drink sector. Despite the challenges constantly faced by this operation, our team has successfully launched innovative new products, delivered positive volume growth, and gain market share by focusing on the precise execution of our desired picture of success at the point of sale. Moreover, our team has improved productivity and service levels by prioritizing production on the fastest moving SKUs in our portfolio and increasing distribution efficiency. Importantly, in the first half of the year, we received close to $110 million at the official exchange rate of 630 bolivars per dollar to pay our suppliers. In our Brazilian operation, we registered 2% organic volume growth for the quarter. We continue to focus on affordable single-serve entry packages and returnable multi-serve presentations to offer additional alternatives to our consumers in a weak economic environment. The price compliance indicators for our 200 and 300 milliliter one-way presentations, as well as our 2-liter returnable PET packages, continue to improve, ensuring the success of these presentations in the market. Our 2-liter returnable presentation for brand Coca-Cola grew 11% in the quarter, reinforcing our ability to connect with cost-conscious consumers. We recently started to roll out this package in our Minas Gerais territories to complement our portfolio in that region. During the quarter, our sparkling beverage portfolio grew 1%, driven by brand Coca-Cola and flavored sparkling beverages. But we have tactically addressed a more intense competitive environment. Our bottled water volume grew 15%, and our non-carbonated beverages grew more than 2%. For the first half of the year, Coca-Cola FEMSA contributed 70% of the system's volume growth in the country. With regard to the integration of Spypa and Fluminense, as of today, we have captured 50% of the synergies targeted for this year, on track to meet our yearly goals. Looking at the second half of the year, our operators will continue to focus on capturing operational efficiencies, integrating Spypa and Fluminense, and enhancing marketplace execution to capture more opportunities to connect with our consumers through a more competitive portfolio. Moving on to Argentina, during the quarter, we continue to face a relatively weak consumer environment in which disposable income remains affected by increased real inflation rates. Our quarterly volume was down 2%. Despite this decline, our Argentine operation continues to gain both share of market and share of sales in all categories and across most channels. Driven by Bonacqua, our bottled water category grew 8% in the quarter, partially compensating for declines in our sparkling and non-carbonated beverages. In contrast with these declines, I would like to highlight the performance of Powerade, which grew importantly in the quarter and continued to gain share as we captured consumers attracted by valuable innovation. Going forward, in addition to our focus on revenue management initiatives and cost discipline, our Argentine operations will actively work on a comprehensive returnable packaging portfolio strategy to reconnect with consumers under the current market environment. During the quarter, our South American division's organic revenue grew 9% on the back of revenue management initiatives in Venezuela, Argentina, and Brazil, and volume growth in Colombia, Venezuela, and Brazil. Organically, lower sweetener and PET prices in most of the divisions were offset by the devaluation of the Colombian peso, the Argentine peso, and the Brazilian real, as applied to our U.S. dollar-denominated input costs in the division. Despite ongoing labor and trade cost pressures in Venezuela and Argentina and Brazil, our organic operating cash flow margin expanded 270 basis points during the second quarter of 2014. In the Philippines, our volume remained flat for the second quarter of 2004. Brand Coca-Cola grew 8% as we successfully reconfigured the portfolio composition to focus on selected SKUs to improve the portfolio architecture. We recently expanded our single-serve one-way PET offering by launching a 250 milliliter presentation to cover the 10 Philippine peso price point for brands Coca-Cola and Sprite. We are also introducing a 400 milliliter PET presentation for those core brands to complement our single serve portfolio offer. As we move forward with the introduction of one-way single serve PET presentations, we are setting the stage to create and capture an increased number of untapped consumption occasions in the Philippine market. Volume in the Greater Manila area grew 4% in the quarter, highlighting the successful implementation of our new route-to-market model, which enabled us to provide higher levels of service, better execution, and greater market control when implementing our strategy. To support our PET capacity during the quarter, we installed two new high-speed production lines to serve the demand for these presentations that we are seeing among Filipino consumers. Now I will discuss our consolidated financial position. As of June 30, 2014, we had a cash balance of 19.2 billion Mexican pesos, and our total debt was 60.3 billion Mexican pesos. Our net debt to EBITDA ratio is currently at 1.34 times, underscoring the strength and flexibility of our balance sheet and our commitment to deleverage the company. Our comprehensive financial results for the quarter was impacted by, first, higher interest expense due to a larger debt balance. Second, higher interest rate on our Brazilian real denominated debt. And third, a larger monetary position and higher inflation rate in Venezuela. The effective tax rate as a percentage of income before taxes registered in the quarter was mainly affected by changes to the income tax law in Mexico and the larger contribution of operations with higher effective tax rate to our consolidated income before taxes. During the quarter, our net income reached 2.7 billion Mexican pesos, reflecting a 5% decline as compared with last year. In summary, our Mexican operations are successfully protecting the profitability and cash flow generations of the business, despite of the volume contraction driven by the excise tax imposed in Mexico. In Central America, our top line acceleration plan is on track with positive results in volume, share, and financials. Volume performance is above plan in Colombia, with a key shift in flavor sparkling beverage volume trends and gaining share in brand Coca-Cola. In Venezuela, despite facing a complex operating environment, we remain committed to continue investing in the marketplace, enhancing the presence of our portfolio, and strengthening the capabilities of the business in order to support the demand for our products. Despite facing a tough economic environment in Argentina, our operations are gaining market share across categories, adapting to the current consumer dynamics to continue protecting the profitability of this operation. Our portfolio strategy is proving to be successful in Brazil. We are focusing on integrating our new territories and improve marketplace execution while increasing productivity and efficiency levels. And we are confident that our strategy in the Philippines, although challenging to implement in the short term, is changing the business model to create a platform for sustainable and profitable growth in the long term. With this, operator, I would like to open up the call for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question at this time. We'll pause for just a moment to give everyone a chance to signal for questions. And we'll take our first question from Fernando Ferreira with Bank of America.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking my question. My first question would be related to Mexico. Just wanted to understand a little bit better your pricing strategy year to date. It seems that you've increased prices by more than your peers and competitors. So I just would like you to comment on this and if you're planning any additional promotional activities or maybe discounting during the second half in order to revamp volumes or not really.
Good morning, Fernando. Yes, in Mexico, in general, I'll say that with the new excise tax that started at the end of the year, we basically increased prices to try to compensate for that. We were a bit short of compensating for that plus the inflation that we anticipate for the year. With the last price increase that we did at the end of last quarter, we are now a little bit ahead of inflation. basically around 5% in nominal terms, without taking into consideration the effect of the taxes, which is a net of taxes, we are around 5% nominal terms versus last year. What I can say about the competition is that we are seeing, obviously, a lot of activity as everyone is adjusting to this new tax environment. For our competitors, the impact of the tax was a bit larger. As you know, it was one peso per liter. So if you have a lower price per liter, the impact was a bit larger proportionately. And that's why during these first 6 months of the year, there has been, and there still is, some adjustment to the pricing architecture of every competitor. Right now, what we feel is that we have the right pricing where we want to be at this part of the year, and most likely we will stay with that, but depending on how our competitors move going forward, we might need to revisit this strategy. But we feel that we finally got to the price point and the pricing architecture that we feel comfortable with, the guidance that we have given you for many years, which is try to be equal to inflation or a little bit ahead of inflation on a yearly basis, and that's where we are right now.
Well, that's pretty clear. Thank you, Axel. And my second question would be on South America. Do you expect the same sort of margin expansion you saw in Q2? Should we expect the same sort of margin expansion for the second half? Or asking in a different way, does the reduction in SG&A we saw, how sustainable is that for the remainder of the year?
Yes, South America, Fernando, is a bit tricky because obviously we have a lot of volatility in there and those numbers because of Venezuela. In general, what I can say is, and then we review market by country by country. Brazil, the quarter was tough because we had volume growth, as I mentioned, around 2%, but most of the volume was coming from categories or SKUs that are less profitable than single serve Coca-Cola, just to say. So we were seeing growth in beer, we were seeing growth in non-carbonated drinks, and we were seeing growth in water, and we were seeing growth strangely enough during the World Cup, where we see an explosion of volume growth was in the last presentation. So Brazil, if we look at Brazil, we are seeing stable margins, and we have not seen an expansion in margins. In Colombia and Argentina, let me go by one. Colombia, with this Plan Colombia that we described a couple of years ago, we adjusted prices, and by when I say adjusted prices, meaning lowering prices to the magic price points of 2,000 Colombian pesos and 500 Colombian pesos for the presentations that I mentioned. And with that, we are seeing a very important growth, which is very well in tune with the strategy that we have for Plan Colombia, which is basically to try to create a larger per capita consumption in that country. You have heard me say several times that the per capita consumption of Colombia is half of that of Venezuela, and we think that there are a lot of opportunities to increase the per capita in Colombia. And that's what we are seeing. The nice point about Colombia this time around is that we are seeing growth in flavor brands. But you know, our competition in the flavor market is much tougher than other countries, and we are seeing positive trends in those numbers now in Colombia. So Colombia is seeing some expansion in margins that we think are there to stay for the rest of the year. In Argentina, even though we have lower volumes than last year, we have good pricing mix. And we have, because we were selling different than Brazil presentations that are better in terms of margin for us. And as well as in Colombia, in Argentina, the expansion that we're seeing, I'm seeing that to stay in the rest of the year. And Venezuela is the one that creates a little bit of noise because all the volatility that you create when you have a very high inflation environment with prices and costs moving very fast. So Venezuela will be a case of very clearly, it's a case where it's very difficult to predict what is going to happen with margins, because you might find an environment which you cannot move necessarily the prices at the same pace of the increasing costs that you have. Right now, we have a favorable environment because we have been able to increase prices, but in Venezuela, we are growing and selling basically everything that we produce. A constant in all of the territories in COFENSA, not only South America, but also Mexico and the Philippines, is a constant look to find opportunities in SG&A, and I think that we are doing, our operators are doing a very good job at finding different processes, different ways of organizing the structure or having a different organization. For example, in the case of Mexico, we reduce the number of sales areas in Mexico from 4 to 3. That means that part of the restructuring process that we were looking in Mexico. In Mexico, we have now basically, it's sad to say that, but we have a good organization and we have 1,200 less workers with us, because obviously we need to adjust our operation to compensate for the lower volumes. So a constant in every one of our operations is this focus in trying to be more, to improve productivity and to have a better SG&A margin. So with this very long answer, Fernando, what I try to say is I'm looking these margins to stay. There is volatility embedded in the numbers because of Venezuela and the steel with which cost and prices move in that country. I think that these margins are here to stay.
That's clear. I appreciate the detailed comments. Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Carla Miranda at GBM. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. Hector, I had a follow-on on Brazil. It seems like you've mentioned in your opening remarks the environment in Brazil is still really challenging. Can you give us a little more detail on what happened during the quarter? Because of we were expecting a higher increase because of the FIFA World Cup, and what should we expect in terms of volumes for the rest of the year? Thank you.
Good morning, Carla. Brazil. Brazil is a. Let me start first. Everything I want to say now is organic because obviously, if we include Fluminense and Spifa, the numbers would show up a very large growth. But organically, what are we seeing? We are seeing a consumer that is kind of shy. It's not necessarily there. We believe it has to do with the economic environment where you have a consumer that has a lot of debt that is cutting back on some of the expenses. The FIFA World Cup, although we have a very good organization and a very good number of tourists, I mean, there was like 600, the estimate is like 600,000 visitors going to Brazil during the space of this tournament. The number of visitors that were in the fan fest areas, people that couldn't go into the stadiums, is close to 1 million people that visited the fan fest areas. And very strangely, what we saw is a very large consumption of beer and very large consumption of soft drinks in the large packages. Our view is that people were buying the large presentations to do like a cookout in their home or I don't know, like a grill in their home, and you saw a lot of, when you look at some of the numbers, you saw also a pickup in the number of meat and charcoal products. People preparing meals at home and buying a larger number of returnable, at the too little returnable presentations. So we saw a very good growth there. Also, another trend that we are seeing, and it's similar to what we saw in the first quarter, is that colas is losing a little bit of importance within the industry of carbonated drinks. So when you look at market share numbers, you see us maintaining share in colas and basically maintaining or a little bit below in flavors. But as flavors continue to gain a little bit of traction in the Brazilian market, in the overall number, we are losing a few basis points on share in Brazil. So the situation in Brazil for this quarter was, as I mentioned, volume growth. Again, everything organic, volume growth, mainly in presentations or SKUs that are not as profitable, like CSDs, large sizes, like non-carbonated drinks, like juices, and beer. The Heineken beer sold very well the Heineken brand was selling very well during this quarter. We are working very well with the synergies. I think that, as I mentioned during the opening remarks, we are right on target for the synergies that we have for this year. And the integration process is going very well. For the rest of the year, we are waiting for the opening of the new production facility in Belo Horizonte. That will bring, in my belief, important efficiencies in our supply chain in that area of the country. The opening is scheduled for September, so we should be having better efficiency numbers with respect to supply chain for the fourth quarter. And as similar to Mexico, I think that the returnability strategy is paying well. You are getting to the consumer that is very cost conscious because of all this macroeconomic environment where they are, and it's helping us to compete without having to reduce the price of our one-way presentation. I think that that's a good description of what is happening in Brazil.
Great, thank you. That was really helpful.
And we'll go next to Antonio Gonzalez with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my question, Hector. I just had a quick follow-up on Venezuela and then a question on Colombia. First, we saw obviously a 400 million peso charge in terms of below the EBITDA line in monetary expenses, coming mostly from Venezuela. So I just wanted to ask, we also saw a provision being recognized by the Coca-Cola company, as a result of this new regulation in Venezuela, which is limiting profit margins. And I wanted to ask, my understanding is that these two might be different reasons to have a charge in your Venezuelan operations. And I just wanted to ask if you foresee any provision to be recognized in the future in your Venezuelan operations, just like the Coca-Cola company did. And I understand, obviously, that the profitability of the Coca-Cola company and the bottlers is very different, but I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that. And also, going back to the description that you gave of the margins of the Venezuelan operation, can you just give us a sense of how much pricing in local currency has increased versus probably wages, just to get a better understanding of this mismatch that you were referring to earlier? And then I'll just have a quick question on Colombia. Thank you.
So let me start with Venezuela. First, the number you see in the press release in page 8 would refer to the loss in monetary position. That basically is a number that is obviously, that's one of the reasons we are missing the the targets on the net income level or the EPS level. No? The space is this 400 million charge that has to do basically with the fact that we have around $300+ million, equivalent to $300 million in cash balances in Venezuela. You have a larger amount in cash balances, but you have also some accounts payable because of the delay that you have with the central bank to pay some of the supplies. So the net amount is around $300 million, $350. Because Venezuela being a hyperinflationary environment, we need to recognize that those cash balances are losing value as time goes by. Basically, the effect of inflation on the monetary assets. And that's the reflected, the number that is there in page 8 for 404 million pesos. That goes all the way down to net income. With respect to the announcement of the Coca-Cola company yesterday, at this moment, at the end of the quarter, we have not fully registered in our numbers this impact. It's still very difficult to know because this new law of the fair price, the fair price law, Antonio, in Venezuela. There, for us, the case is a little bit different because we have a lot of operating facilities, a lot of warehouses, our workforce is much larger. So, to the best of our understanding, we are in full compliance with the law, so I'm not foreseeing any adjustment in the second part of the year on that. Okay? And with respect to local currency, I mean, when you have inflation running at a 60% more or less speed, 60% rate on a yearly basis, we are ahead of that in terms of pricing, and our cost, especially salaries, are also ahead of that. So, but I think that for this quarter, we have a little bit more pricing than salaries, let me put it that way. I don't have any specific figures, but we have, because we very recently increased prices. And it's basically, you do a little bit of catch-up in these prices, and then some of the costs start catching up. You reduce your margin a little bit, and then you increase prices again. But that's more or less the level of numbers that you will see on a local currency analysis in Venezuela, no? With the 60% inflation, that's more or less what you're seeing in terms of salaries and prices.
The $350 million sector that you mentioned are taking into account the official exchange rate?
It's a 1060. It's around 3,000 billion bolivars. Huh?
Okay, perfect.
It's $300 converting at 360.
Perfect, understood. And then just final question.
Number.
Yeah. Just very quick question finally on Colombia. I obviously understand that you don't disclose the margins on a per country basis, but I just wanted to understand with this price aggressiveness on one hand and then on the other hand volumes progressing as you just described in the prepared remarks, can you just give us a sense of whether you think that margin erosion is behind us already, or we're still kind of not reaching yet that inflection point, and what kind of probably a range of margins that you're seeing, something like a high single digit or low teens that you can share with us?
So I'll say, Antonio, that as you described, I mean, 2 years ago we lowered prices, we advised everyone that we were going to suffer on the operating income and EBITDA figures for a year, with the idea of recuperating per capita consumption. We are with margins that are very stable now compared to 2013. They are a little bit lower than what we had in 2012 and 11, but we are recuperating those margins. And the idea is, and the tricky part is, now that we are seeing a better consumption, or better per capita consumption of the consumers, and better consumption habits to our understanding, is how much can we start adjusting prices of increasing prices on the specific packages and attracting consumers to individual presentations and presentations that have better margin. And that's the second part of the equation that we need to start working on. But to your specific question, margins are basically increasing a little bit versus 2013, not yet at the levels that we have in 12 and 11. Okay?
Thank you so much, Hector.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Lori Serra with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Geronimo de Guzman filling in for Lori. I had a question on your, when we were looking at your statements, the D&A and other non-cash charges seemed pretty high in the quarter, so I just wanted to understand what were the main drivers of that increase.
Good morning, Daniel. You're referring to the last number that I see, the evaluation and amortization and other operative non-cash charges in state aid. That number,
yeah.
And I'm glad that you do the question because I think it's important to clarify. That number is basically the a reflection of two things. One is that in spite, and let me start with the larger impact. In Venezuela, in spite of having received up to year to date $110 million of dollars at the official exchange rate at 6.3 at the official exchange rate for raw materials, we recognize during this quarter that we have around $10 million of accounts payables that we know that we never get an official, we never get authorization from the central bank, because these are imports that we did because we were, in order to avoid stopping production, so we went outside of the importation protocol to be able to have access to the controlled dollars. These are dollars that raw materials that were imported a year or a year and a half ago. So in the dialogue that we have with our auditors, we are in the process of trying to buy this $10 million at the so-called SICAD 2, which is now trading around 50 bolivars per dollar. So if you apply this 50 bolivars per dollar versus 6.3 that we have in our books on the, in this account payable, that's basically a reflection of a foreign exchange movement that is a non-cash thing because it's in our balance. The other element, which is smaller but is also important, is the fact that last year in the Philippines we had a profit of net income of our 51 was around $10 million, more or less, and this year we have a loss in the Philippines, a net income loss of around $7 to $8 million. For the equivalent for our 51%. What is causing that number in the Philippines is basically the fact that as we have been, in our opinion, very successful in producing the one-way presentations to change the rules, the market are the rules of the market there. Our competitors have been decreasing their prices on the equivalent to an 8-ounce glass returnable presentation. So we have been doing a rollback on that presentation also on the prices. So I'll say that around half of that impact of the loss of this quarter has to do with this price rollback. Again, we feel that as we are being very, very successful in GMA where we have introduced it out to market, and just as a reminder, we now have 1,700 pre-sellers that are visiting the stores, checking for the execution. And there are some indications that are indicators that are very good and encouraging for us. For example, Brand Coca-Cola in GMA, in Great Metropolitan, in Great Manila area, is growing above 40%. Obviously, Pop Cola is part of this is cannibalizing other products, especially Pop Cola, but part of that is also cannibalizing presentations from our competitors. So we have very encouraging results of what the strategy that we are doing, and as we roll out this strategy to other areas, we expect similar results, and the market share trends are very good. But the fact is that we have a loss this quarter in the Philippines that is related to the rollback in the 8-ounce returnable glass bottle. And the second element, which is important for you to know, is that very recently there is a new law that restricts traffic for trucks. And remember that in the Philippine market, being a large number of islands, the ports and the congestion of the ports is an important element. And if the trucks are not able to circulate during normal business hours, it simply makes logistics very complex and transportation costs more expensive as the suppliers are seeing an opportunity to increase price. So another half of this loss is related to an increase in freight costs because of this truck ban in the Philippine market. It's so important that we have now a dedicated team that are our experts in Coca-Cola FEMSA moving for the Philippines. They are going to work there for a while just to, and we are working also with some consultants to help us better design how we are going to move the products around all these islands from our production plant to our distribution centers, and hopefully we'll have a better logistics and transportation cost going forward. But that's an impact that we have basically during this quarter. And when you compare a profit in the Philippine market last year and a loss on this quarter, and this being reflected also in the they are affecting our EBIT in Mexico, because as we explained last conference call, the Philippine ownership is under Cofensa, which is consolidated with Mexico. So it's affecting our EBIT in Mexico, it's reducing the EBIT of the Mexico and Central America division. But it's a non-cash charge because there's no cash movement, there's just the equity method on that. And I hope that this long explanation describes what is a number that already stands out in the press release. So.
Yeah. Thanks for the explanation. Just a couple follow-ups here. So on the Philippines, just given that the rollbacks, I assume you continue to see the impact of that and of the logistics issues, should we expect that the losses will continue in the next few quarters?
I think that my expectation is that it's a tough question, because it will depend on the competition and what it has to do with this price rollback. My expectation is that little by little we will be compensating that with the success of Brand Coca-Cola in the one-way presentations, and that this 3-ounce presentation and we're already doing some strategies, for example, and maybe it's a good point to describe this. We are, remember that we launched this presentation called Mismo, which is a 300 milliliter one-way PP package in the Great Manila area at 10 Filipino pesos. That presentation, we are moving that to 12 pesos in order to improve the profitability. And we are introducing a 250 milliliter just to keep the magic price point of 10 pesos in the areas where we face a lot of competition. With this combination of these two packages, I think that we will rely less and less on the 8-ounce returnable glass bottle, and little by little we will improve the margins for the company. The transportation and logistics will probably take a little bit longer, and we'll expect this additional cost to be here for the rest of the year until we adjust our logistics and supply chain to these new parameters of these new regulations with respect to the restriction of the so-called trout farming in the 50s.
Okay, makes sense. And then on Venezuela and what you mentioned, just wanted to ask, the fact that you had to purchase some of these raw materials at 50 or at the Sicatu rate, isn't that a really a cash impact because you are really buying them at that higher FX rate? And then the second question related to Venezuela is also, I know it's still a small amount, 10 compared to 120 million that you had to purchase outside of the official FX rate, but do you foresee continuing as you go to rely on getting dollars outside of Sicatu just because you're getting too many delays on the approvals from Cadivi?
Yes, no, your first question, the 50 peso Bolivar, that corresponds to some raw materials that were purchased and used basically a year ago, and we have an account payable that has not been paid. So for our P&L a year and a half ago, we used the 630 cost, and now we have this account payable that we discussed that a lot with our auditors, and being an FX movement on an account payable that as of this moment we have not fully paid, because we are in the process of, as you might know, the Sicatu doesn't have a lot of debt, also a lot of availability. I want to say profundidad, I don't know if that, I guess. So we don't buy only very small amounts. Little by little, we are compensating for that. At the end of the day, at some point in time, we'll use that cash, certainly. But as we discussed that with the auditors, because of the IFRS and being an account payable and the FX on an account payable, it's registered as a non-cash item. With respect to the... I understand the second part of your question, if we should be using the 1060 as the exchange rate to convert all our numbers into Mexican pesos. We have discussed that a lot also with auditors and with other companies that have operations in